So Jesus, it says in your word that you are Emmanuel and you came to be with us. As we look at your word now, we want to have our hearts opened to that. We want to see you and understand your truth in a proper and a fresh way. And so so help us, Lord. Help us to see you today. Help us to just have a moment now where we're not consumed with the tasks that need to get done, the presence we're going to give and the presence we're going to receive and the different dynamics going on in our families. Lord, we leave all of that behind, and I ask that you would meet with us now as we think about you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, we're so glad you're here. We know a lot of you are not with us every week, and I just want to give you a big welcome. We're so glad you're here. My name is Sean. I'm the teaching pastor here, and we're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so looking at some scripture together, and then we're going to close our service doing the candle lighting together. That's why you guys have those little candles. That song we just sang, Rejoice, Rejoice, Emmanuel. We stand in a long line of people who have been singing that song on Christmas Eve, actually. It was first put in hymnals in the year 1851. Prior to that, it was actually sung in Latin going back 1,200 years to the monastic time. What does it mean? Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. And what does it mean to you? I'm going to answer those questions in my sermon today. And in Matthew chapter 2, the verses that were just read a little bit ago in the Advent reading, it actually answers the question, what does Emmanuel mean? The verses say, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. I'm going to spend the entire sermon talking about those three words. If you live with God with us on your heart and in your life, it will literally change everything. Everything will change because of that. Now, to explain it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to unpack each of those words and explain how Jesus fulfilled those. So the first one is God. God means Jesus is God. This is the simple meaning of Christmas, that God of the universe literally became human. He became flesh. The Bible cannot resist telling us that Jesus is God. All through the New Testament, we're told in every possible way that Jesus is God. In fact, nothing about Christianity makes any sense at all unless you understand Jesus is God. He went by Jesus Christ. He was born in Bethlehem. His mother and his father were Mary and Joseph. His birth was announced by angels, celebrated by the shepherds. I mean, these are all well-known parts of the Christmas story. We know these parts. We've seen the movies. We've been to the plays. They're all very familiar. But the point was that God clothed himself with flesh, just like we would take on and off a piece of clothing. As an adult, Jesus did so many miracles. His very first miracle was taking six large jugs of water and turning them into amazing wine. One of his last miracles was raising Lazarus from the dead to show that he was God. He forgave people of their sins. And that was one of the things that the religious rulers were quite bothered by, because unless he was the one who was offended, then why would he offer the forgiveness? The religious leaders knew that in his offer to forgive sins, that he was actually saying, I am God, and your rebellion and your sin is against me, and I forgive you. All of it was to show that Jesus is God. See, the issue isn't just that he claimed to be God. His followers even believed it. That's a very unique thing, by the way. when people that you live around and see you all the time would bow and worship you? Because you can't fool the people you live with, can you? They see you when your guard is down. They see you when you lose your temper. They see you when you lie to get a discount. The people you live with see everything you do. And the people who live with Jesus, they saw everything that he did also. And what they saw with their eyes lined up with Jesus' claim to be God. And these people were willing to die for that belief. See, Jesus couldn't have been just a great man. Have you wrestled with that question? Some say that this is a narrow-minded view. Some treat Jesus' claim to be God like any other topic that we would debate and disagree about. That's not very logical. See, we debate about lots of different things. You know a couple things that we've been debating in my house the last week? One of them is whether reheated pizza is just as good as hot pizza right from the delivery guy. A debatable question, but the answer won't change your life. Another question we've been debating, this one comes from Star Wars. This is not a spoiler. I'll just let you know, but the question that we've been debating in our household, we don't know the answer, I'm not even sure we agree, is whether Rey will fall in love with Poe or Kylo Ren in the next movie. Different opinions. Again, you can debate it, you can discuss it, but the answer will not change your life. However, when Matthew calls Jesus Emmanuel, he's making a statement that will change everyone's life. Jesus couldn't have been only a cute baby in a manger. Jesus couldn't have been just a great man. Why not? Because the Bible throughout says Jesus is God. Jesus claimed it, his followers worshiped him, and his enemies killed him on a cross because they saw his power and yet they refused to worship him. Have you settled this question in your heart? When you do, it provides a foundation to your life that literally changes everything. God. Jesus is God. That's our first word that we're going to unpack. Here's the second one. It's the word with. What does the with mean in the phrase God with us? It means Jesus is with. Let me explain that. Basically what it's saying is that the great God of the universe entered our humanity as a vulnerable baby boy born to Mary about 2,000 years ago. This is different than how God had interacted with humanity up to that point in history. Before Jesus came as a baby, whenever God interacted with humanity, whenever God came near people, God was terrifying. A couple examples. People that everybody knows, like Moses. When Moses encountered God at the burning bush, he was terrified, and he fell on his face before God. Job is another famous Old Testament character. God spoke to Job from a whirlwind. Man, you got to be close to a whirlwind to hear it speaking to you. That's terrifying. People throughout the Old Testament, they had one common reaction when they encountered God. They would bow and hide their faces because they were terrified. God's glory and God's holiness, it was too much for them to handle. Jesus with changed our ability to know God. See, what Jesus did is completely different than any other world religion that people would follow or live. And let me show you. We're going to use this ladder here. In every other world religion, they would say, we're here and deity is up there. And so as a result, we're going to try to do certain rituals. We're going to try to abstain from certain foods and drinks. We might even need to travel to certain locations in order to get to that deity. The problem is, you can never get there. The problem is that you're still separated from the deity. And see, here's what's universal in the world, is that we all have hearts that long to be connected with a deity. We long for it, but you can't get up there. It reminds me of the story of the three swimmers who tried to swim from the Santa Monica Pier over to Honolulu. The first swimmer did not take it very seriously, and after 1 mile, which is a pretty good swim, they tired out and they drowned. The second swimmer, pretty impressive, trained a lot, really did a lot of great stuff, 20 miles, but drowned, and that was the end of the second swimmer. But the third swimmer, unbelievable. The third swimmer had trained. The third swimmer, she was elite, and she went 200 miles from the Santa Monica Pier straight out into the Pacific, trying to get all the way to Honolulu. But after 200 miles, even though people were in awe of her ability, she couldn't make it any further, and she drowned 200 miles out, which, by the way, exceeds the world record for an open water swim without fins. But she still couldn't make it. She could never get up to the place. And this is why it's so foundational in the understanding of Christianity that when we say Emmanuel, God with us, this understanding and this idea changes literally everything in the world. Let me show you. God is all the way at the top. I'm not going to go all the way. But I'm going to go high enough so that you can remember this idea. God is holy. God is perfect. God could not just interact with a sinful, broken, fallen world. So there was separation. When Jesus Christ came to earth as a baby, this is why he wasn't just a cute little baby that we saw the movie where he's praying to baby Jesus. We see like little cards that we send to one another. They have a little baby in a manger, and it might have some bright light shining from it. They're ideas that are familiar to us, but the truth of it is profound. That God, in the form of Jesus Christ, said, "You will never be able to get up to me, so I will come down to you." God did the unthinkable. There's no world religion that has any concept like this, that God himself said, "I will come down to you. I don't want you to live in suffering. I don't want you to live with hurt and pain that will never be resolved. I will come down to be with." That's what the "with" means. God came down as a vulnerable baby, and Jesus, as he laid there as that baby, was not terrifying, nor was he intimidating. Jesus didn't become a human to scare us. He came to show unconditional, open-armed love to everyone. Jesus came to be with so that you could be in relationship with him. Jesus was a listening friend so that people could approach him. Jesus was a miracle worker so that he could show off his power and bring healing. People were drawn to him, intrigued by him, and they would often ask, "Where did this guy come from? Where did he get this authority to teach?" When Jesus entered humanity, he was showing us, you can know God, talk to God, air your complaints to God. You can find everything your heart longs for in a relationship with God. Think of the honor that we're offered in that. It's no wonder that song sings, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel." Jesus came down the ladder. And with it, he said to everyone, "Come to me, all you who are weary and brokenhearted, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "I came to seek and save the lost." Look, everything Jesus did and said was his message of, "Come to me. I'm not here to terrify you. I'm here to take away the barrier that separates you from God." That's the power of with. Let's look at the last word in that phrase. God with us. What does the us mean? Well, the us means is that Jesus is with us. Now, it's interesting that that term is a limited term. It doesn't say all. See, Jesus' invitation is given to all, but everyone doesn't come to him. In John 1:12, the Bible says, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." The us is those who receive him. The us is those who believe in him. They become children of God. That's the us. You can think of it like a Christmas party that you host at your house, and you invited every single neighbor on your street, every single one of them. Some people will come to your party. They're going to eat your delicious food and drink your holiday drinks, but mostly they're going to enjoy your hospitality. They're going to love being there because you create an environment that's warm and friendly, and you get to talk and share memories. Some won't come. They'll reason that maybe they don't know you well enough. "Oh, we don't know those neighbors. We're not going to go to that party." They might not want to give up shopping or watching another Christmas movie or baking something. See, some come, but some do not. But the invitation went out to all of your neighbors. Jesus extends an invitation as well. It's an invitation to be in a personal relationship with him. And everyone who says yes to his invitation becomes part of the us. God with us. It means God is with you, walking with you, carrying you through your hard times, giving you the ability to celebrate even in your hard times. See, the us are people who are humble enough to say, "You know what? I'm never going to be able to climb that ladder. But man, I see the truth that you came down to me." The us are people who accept Jesus' unconditional offer of love. And they say, "I'll follow you. I'll live for you." I remember when I became part of the us. I was 8 years old in Arlington, Texas, in a church service. And a pastor was explaining the things about Jesus, and I thought, "Boy, that sounds amazing. I want to know God." What about you? Have you said yes to Jesus' invitation? If you have, then it's a day of great celebration, because we can look at our lives, but also the world, and we can say, "Man, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come." It gives the reason and the purpose behind all of the gatherings and all of the decorations and all the presents that we give and receive. If you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, the invitation hasn't expired. You could think of it like that invitation to your neighbor's party that's just still sitting there on the kitchen island, and it's just still sitting there. And Jesus is still waiting for you to say yes to his invitation. God invites you to come to him with nothing because he's going to provide everything. He's not inviting you to a potluck where you have to contribute something to the greater cause. He's saying, no, no, no. You come with nothing because I have prepared everything for you. That's what Emmanuel, God with us, means. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you personally? Christmas is all about being with Jesus. It's common for people to say that Christmas is all about being with family. I get it. I'm flying to see a bunch of family tomorrow. Many of you are here with family right now, or you're going to go visit some people later today or tomorrow. Family is a big part of Christmas, for sure. But Christmas is not about family. It's about being with Jesus. I mean, look at what God has done in order to be with you. He loves you, and he's inviting you into a personal relationship with him. Is there anything preventing you from being in that relationship? I mean, here's what I want for you. Here, for every single one of you, many of you I know, but many of you I don't know. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your victories. I don't know your dreams, and I don't know your fears. But here's what I want for all of you. It is a universal, it's a universal thing here. I want you to have your life radically changed by being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He changes your dreams. He filters and changes your fears. He will blow your mind and your heart away as you read his word and he teaches you his truth. Jesus said he gives abundant life, not ordinary life. Jesus gives forgiveness and peace to your heart. Imagine that. Forgiveness. You don't have to live with the regrets. You don't have to live with the baggage that you carry. Jesus can give you freedom from all of that. Jesus gives purpose to every single one of your days. Whether it's your career or your school or your family, your retirement, your suffering, Jesus gives purpose to all of it. And as you're in a relationship with him, Jesus gives you even a little bitty taste of what it'll be like to be with him in heaven as you read his word, as you pray and experience the presence of his Holy Spirit. I want that for every single one of you. There's literally nothing better than being in a relationship with Jesus. He will blow your mind and your heart away. Maybe you've been thinking about Jesus for a while. You've read some booklet, or you've seen something on TV, or you've been talking to a friend, and things are happening in your heart, and you're not even sure what all that means. And you're here today as part of one step in that progression, and you might want to enter into a relationship with Jesus today. That'd be great. You can do that in a prayer that I'm going to pray here in a few minutes, and I'll guide you through that so you can begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do that today, we've got a couple special things coming up. One of them will be that you can be a part of the candle lighting. The other part is that we've got a table out there that says start here. We want to give you a Bible to help you build that relationship with Jesus. A big table out in the lobby says start here. But maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm intrigued by Jesus, but I'm not sure I want to be in a relationship with him yet. I'm interested, but I'd like to hear more. And so what we're going to do in January is start a group just for you. We've never done this before. I want to host it, and I want to just sit down in a casual environment and talk through the four most common questions that people have when they're thinking about entering into a relationship with Jesus. And if you'd like to join that conversation, you're invited. And here's how you let us know that. You text FBC to this number on the screen. You can pull out your cell phone, 555-8888. And just text FBC in. And we'll follow up with you and we'll let you know when that's going to start. And we'll just sit together and we'll just talk, guiding you and helping you to know who is Jesus. It's a very common question. A very common question that many people don't know the answer to. But we want to help you learn who Jesus is. We want to help every single person who's interested to be able to say, rejoice, rejoice, because God is with us. We want that to be personal and real for you. If you would you bow your heads and let's close our time now in a prayer. Jesus, when we think about the fact that you came to save us, to show us unconditional, perfect love, I mean, that is a lot to take in. That is a bit of a mind-blowing thing to do. But just like that the angels said, rejoice, rejoice, and just as the song says, rejoice, and we give you praise right now. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us, coming down to be with us, to enter into a relationship with us. If you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus today, then you can just say these words that I'm about to just say out loud. You can just say them in your heart. Jesus, thank you for coming to save me. Thank you for loving me, even though I've blown it so much. Jesus, I know that I'll never be able to get up to you, and I believe that you did come down to be with me. And so I want to enter into a relationship with you. I want to give you back my life and receive your unconditional love. I want you to be my Lord, and I want you to be my Savior from my sin. We pray all this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.